It's time for another MoviePass moment here on the Nerd in Me podcast. Hey, and welcome to another MoviePass moment. I'm Jonathan.
Hey, and this is Alan.
And we have a special guest today, always from the Nerd, Enter the Nerd Zone podcast, is Pete. What's up, Pete?
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Yeah, all of a sudden we got all Fez-like in this show.
Hey, yes. Hey.
So today, Alan, today, Pete, today, boys, we're going to be talking about Ready Player One.
Ooh, that was nice robotic talk.
I was trying for that. I'm glad it came across.
Ready Player One. Yabba Dabba Doo.
Yabba Dabba Doo. That's Robot Fred, right?
Yeah, Robot Flintstone, yeah. Yeah, okay, right. Ready Player
so
One.
We also Ready Player One.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
The latest from some auteur director named Steven Spielberg.
Yeah.
It's like my first film of seeing him, I think.
Oh, what was it?
That was it. Oh. Ready Player
One. Okay, Ready Player One, Steven Spielberg came out this weekend. Big names. Boy, not a lot of big names in this one, is there?
Did you recognize the main player, who he was, how we might know him?
Yeah, he's from. Isn't he from Fantastic Four, the new one?
No, that's not Miles.
Is it?
Oh. No, it's not him.
Okay.
It's not him.
It's the new Cyclops, I believe, from the X-Men movies.
Is that who that is?
Yes, you're right. Yeah, you're right. Sorry.
Okay.
I knew it was a superhero somewhere.
Another nobody. Okay. No, I didn't reckon. I didn't put that together, though, actually. No, sir.
Yeah, and I think he does a pretty good job as what's his face, Cyclops. Well, let's do it. So we know it's directed by Steven Spielberg. It stars Ty Sheridan as Parzival in the game world and Wade in the real world. Olivia Cooke as Artemis in the game world, Samantha in the real world. Ben Mendelsohn, who probably is most recognized as Director Krennic from Rogue One.
Yes.
He's the bad guy, Sorrento. And
he's a good bad guy. I like him.
Yeah, he is a good bad guy. Well, he's got that look and that voice.
Yeah. You know. Like douche.
All right, so there was a lot of hype, boys, for this movie. They've been plugging it for at least a year. I think what I like, Pete, did you get to see the posters where they were parodying 80s movies?
Yeah.
In the movie itself?
No, in the ad campaign.
I didn't.
Because there's one for Back to the Future. I thought you would have liked it.
I'll be honest. I went into this movie not knowing much about it or seeing a lot of the previews.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm in the same boat as Pete. I was not familiar with this at all, and my coworker, he told me it was based off a book, like I guess most movies and stuff. And apparently, the book is really, really good. But other than that, I had no idea what this was going to be about. Other than I just heard that, you know, there's a lot of '80s stuff in it. You know, and that's it. That's all I went in with this one.
Right. It's very much an homage, a love letter to the '80s and the films of. Well, the films we grew up with, but my understanding is in the book, it's very Spielberg-heavy references, and Spielberg kind of left a lot of that stuff out because he felt weird about it, I guess, self-referencing himself.
Oh, okay,
the movie's chock full of Easter eggs. I mean, I think I was talking to you, Alan, off-air about how there was and the movie moves very quickly. Like, I didn't catch 90% of what they threw at us in regards to little Easter eggs.
So let me ask right off the bat, if we can go around, what were your impressions of the movie? I mean, did you like it, didn't like it?
John? I'll go first. John, you can go first.
Got it, Pete.
I loved the movie. I thought it was great. Again, like I said, going into it, no expectations. So for me, it was, you know, right there. I mean, obviously, all the Back to the Future references got me hooked.
Actually, that's the reason why, Pete, I wanted you on this particular podcast, because I know you're a diehard Back to the Future guy, and this one is, like, of all of them, Back to the Future is probably the one that's most prominent in this movie.
Yeah. I mean, they really paid a lot of homage to Back to the Future. I mean, he drives the DeLorean in a race.
Yeah.
He, you know, you hear the score.
Yeah, you do.
You hear the score at one point, and one of the main weapons that he buys is a Zemeckis cube. And yeah. what to do is it stops time, right? For 60 or reverses time.
For 60 seconds, 60 seconds. Yeah.
Yeah. So
did you see the poster of did you see the poster of Goldie Wilson in the garage of
I caught that one.
Yeah.
Really Goldie Wilson. Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, I like the sound of that.
Yeah, right, a Negro mayor, that'll happen.
Okay, I forgot that was a reference to the movie.
Sorry, Joe, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing left to do was dress like Marty, which I don't think he did, right, at any point in the movie.
No.
Okay. So, yeah, it's very 80s nostalgic, and it was a good movie. It had a great setup. You know, there's three keys he's got to find to win. It reminded me a lot of Willy Wonka. Like, they had to go through all these trials, and at the end, you get the whole factory or world or whatever, you know. I got a very Willy Wonka vibe in it.
So, John, you liked the movie, I take it, then?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. It was definitely, considering we've been seeing a couple of not-so-great movies recently, I think that was pretty good.
Yeah, I enjoyed myself. This is a very entertaining movie, but I do have a but on this one. I took my daughter to this one. And because it was heavily referenced in the 80s, man, there was so much that went right over her head. And I can see that, you know. I think I did struggle with, because it's, you know, the movie takes place in 2044, I think it was. And, you know, a lot of things that you see in this movie is, you know, let's say very high tech with virtual reality and stuff. And, you know, I think the only thing that maybe bothered me was, though I do like the 80s stuff, it was hard to immerse myself because a lot of 80s music, a lot of 80s references, but visually, it wasn't 80s. You know, it was very, very modern, very high-tech stuff, you know? And I felt that, well, maybe if they went back maybe to the 90s, it would have more resonance to me, you know? And even, like, someone with my daughter would kind of get it because, let's face it, the next generation systems... what is it, Xbox 360 and the original PlayStation, I think that was like that big change in like video games and stuff versus, you know, stuff prior to that. But it was good overall. I'm not knocking it. I just felt that having all these 80s references, there was a lot of things that wasn't 80s too. You know, a lot of the games that were displayed there was a lot of Halo, there was Gears of War and stuff, and that those are like really current games. And so I was getting thrown back and forth between what should this world be, you know, in the virtual world, especially if they kept referencing or like kind of mimicking a lot of the 80s stuff from the creator's point of view. There are a lot of things that shouldn't have been in there. So it was just a little... It pulled me back, I think, way too much, where I think if they went back to the 90s, it would have worked better, maybe. I don't know. Because there was a lot of obscure games. I'm like, do you remember playing that game Adventure?
I didn't play it, but I remembered it, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
remember the game. I don't remember I didn't play it. I was a big Pitfall fan.
Pitfall is fantastic. But I played Adventure, and I remember it was fun to see that game again. And finding that little Easter egg of finding the creators, I definitely remember doing that as a kid. But again, I mean, you know, I'm in my mid 40s, so I mean, anyone like younger than that, I think they may. I'm not gonna say they're gonna struggle, but again, there was a big portion of my daughter she tuned out.
Well, I mean, the whole premise of it being the creators, the creator of the virtual world, his. I guess favorite time of life was the 80s, and that's why a lot of that is based around that. My thing was, would it in 2045, would they be looking back to the 80s? Like, would there be so many knowledgeable people about the 80s? Like, would someone Parzival's age really know that much about
I mean, he knew a lot about the 2600. Yeah. Well, like, I think they went too far back for, but this is just griping. I mean, overall, the film was fun. But I think
well, they're going by the source material too, and the book was probably written by a guy probably our age,
right?
So, you know, he wrote what he knows about, just like, you know, what do we podcast about? We podcast about the 80s,
stuff that we know,
stuff that we know. Mm-hmm. But you're right, it was I can see it being a problem for younger kids.
Oh, she didn't get it, any of the jokes or the little nuances in the movie.
Mm-hmm. Have you guys played any of the virtual reality games? Have you ever wore those masks?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I think maybe they were going for, like, you know, okay, we got the 80s for the old people like us, and then the virtual reality is, and the animation, so to speak, was for the younger generation. Maybe the content wasn't for them, but the perspective that this is what they're doing now and it's going to be in the future. Yeah. Maybe that's what they were going for.
Well, I can see that because, you know, I always, you know, when I think about gaming in general, the future is VR. I mean, that's that next step. And they really embrace it in this movie. I mean, yeah, well, totally culturally.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
It's everybody does it. Mm-hmm. It's you know, it's kind of like back a couple years ago when everybody's playing Pokemon on their phone. You know, right. You see the scenes where they're all wearing the virtual reality masks. Honestly, I couldn't imagine a future like that, but I'm sure it's coming.
It's scary. I mean, I punched out at the 360, so I don't know what's happening.
PlayStation 4, PlayStation now has the virtual reality set, the game, and the PlayStation 4 comes with it now.
The VR stuff?
The VR stuff, yeah.
And it's good. It's good. I mean, I definitely know people that are falling down because it's messing up with their brains. You know?
Really? Oh, that's odd. Okay.
I can't play it.
Oh, no?
No, I get nauseous.
Now, what's popular is the, like, people going online with, like, Second Life and, like, you know, our buddy DJ talks about these role-playing games that you can play online and create avatars and stuff like that. Like, I know that's huge. It's not a part of geekdom I'm plugged into. I don't have an avatar online. Even when I get a chance to make an avatar, it winds up looking like me anyway. So, yeah, I just don't, it's weird to think that the future is people having this whole other life and personality online. And then, you know, living the real world. And it was weird. I was trying to get a handle on the world they were showing us, what 2045 was, because they had, like, businessmen and things like that. But then it looked like if you didn't work for the big company, your life was pretty much, like, because they had people walk around the streets with the VR headsets on. It's like, what kind of society is this? Are people going to work? Are they teachers? Are they cops? Are they, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Is this something?
Sorry, John, go ahead.
Well, a big part of the movie is the creator being like, look, I didn't create this so you guys could spend all your lives on this thing, you know. You know, it was meant to be kind of a fun thing, and people are using it kind of too much. You know, I'm trying not to give away too much of the movie. But you know what I'm talking about? Like, that was one of the themes of it.
Oh, yeah. Their lives were just so crappy that they would rather be in the virtual world than their own world. You know, there was a movie, right. Bruce Willis, Surrogates. You ever seen that movie?
Yes,
I did.
Yeah, and that was very, very similar. Where, like, well, obviously it was a murder kind of movie and stuff, but the people in that world preferred the virtual reality world than their own, because their real lives sucked. And in the virtual world, they can be, you know, young and beautiful and successful and stuff. And so, I mean, that's what I got out of this movie. It was exactly that. They would rather be in this fake world than deal with the crap that they're in right now, which was, you know, what do they call it? The stacks? I mean, like, it was like motorhome stacked upon a motorhome.
Right.
Well, you know, you think about it, you know, now for us, we spend a lot of our time watching the TV, hoping to be in that, the Avengers world and those type of things. Now that the virtual reality, I guess, is, well, they did that, but now you can live it.
Well, that would be sick.
Yeah, that would be cool. I mean, I guess Batman was mentioned.
Yeah, we're going back to our new universe podcast.
Yeah, hey, that was a fun podcast.
What universe would you live in, right?
Hey, how about, I know this is off topic, but how cool would this be if they were to film movies and you would wear VR glasses where, in the sense that you're actually in the movie, not participating, but just viewing it from, like, you're actually in it from that point of view. Like, you know, when Thanos is crushing down Captain America and you're actually standing right next to it, you know, that would be so immersive. Yeah, I probably wouldn't go to work anymore. I'd be in my pajamas all day. It's fun. Anyway, all right, back to the movie.
So I thought the performances were really good. It's, you know, it's a Spielberg movie, so you get the thrills, you get the excitement. You know, you get the look. You can't. The special effects are incredible. God. I'm considering probably 80% of it's a cartoon, more right. or less, because it's, you know, when they're in the virtual world, it's all digitally animated. You kind of forget that, or at least I forgot.
No, you do. You do.
Yeah.
You know,
certain angles. Go ahead.
What'd you say again, Pete?
Nothing. I said, you go ahead.
Oh, I think that there's one part of the movie where I actually said to myself, holy crap, this is another level of CG, is when there were, oh, spoiler alert, right? I mean, I guess it's assumed. But when they were doing, you know, the world of the Shining, and it was that real
yeah.
world.
Yeah, that's cool. That's
and
cool.
You see them walk in the hallways, and I sat there thinking, holy crap, this is unreal. I've never, and we've watched a lot of movies, but you agree, right? This was a little.
I was wondering if they took clips from the movie, you know, like setup shots of when they show what the Overlook Hotel looks like.
Yeah.
If they took clips from the movie or if they recreated certain sets, but it looks so real life. It was, and first of all, I was like H in the movie. I've never seen The Shining.
Oh. Okay.
So I was like covering my eyes for
something. It was creepy. But how they had the avatars, I guess you'd call them, right? Their computer generated bodies in this Shining world. It looks so seamless. Like I said, I was astounded. Like, oh my god, this looks amazing. It almost seems like you don't need to hire actors anymore. You just need to hire their voices, because they're gonna seamlessly put a 3D generated person on the movies, and it looks amazing.
That's what DC should do with their movies.
Yeah.
I never saw The Shining either, to be honest with you, and I couldn't really tell if it was animated or if it was live. It was that scene was fantastic.
Yeah. Oh my god, yeah. Spielberg knows how to freaking make movies.
Sometimes.
Well, we might have to,
a little bit.
We might have to,
he's okay.
Are you still mad about 1941?
Come on.
Well, I, you know, we gave a lot of credit to Back to the Future being a big part of this movie. I totally forgot about The Shining's like a whole 1/4 of the movie. So
yeah, it played a huge part of the movie too. Yeah, but that was disturbing.
It's old.
I mean, yeah, it's old.
The second level for the second key, I think.
Yeah, yeah, it was. Yeah. Uh huh.
When was The Shining? The Shining's the 70s, wasn't it?
77, 78-ish. Yeah.
Yeah. And I didn't catch that movie till, you know, later on in life too, because that movie scared me.
Is it a scary movie?
Yeah, it's. Yeah. I want to drop. Can I drop F bombs? No, probably not.
Yeah, let's keep it PG.
Yeah, effed up.
That movie is effed
up big time.
They make you poo your pants. Why is it always good to poo for you?
No, I can't say the other words, so I figure I'll go that way.
Yeah. Yeah, you go any way that feels good, don't you? All right. Sorry, Pete. So Pete, you really, really liked it. You think the fact that you didn't know a lot about it, because I won't say I like really, really liked it. I mean, so far this year, I've really, really liked Black Panther, and that's probably, I think that's it so far. So do you think not knowing a lot about it maybe helped you? Because you go in with no expectations, which is something Alan and I have been talking about on a few of our shows, is did we build up Last Jedi too much? Are we building up Infinity War? You know, how much does expectations play into our final like or dislike of a movie? So with no expectations, do you think that helped you enjoy it better?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I went into it thinking all I want to see is the Back to the Future scenes, and the, you know, the music was, you know, 80s hair bands, you know, so no expectations whatsoever. I thought it was great. The guy that played Halliday, Mark, and I can't think of his last name. He's been in a few other movies. He's also was animated in another movie, and I like his work too. So going into it, I'm like, all right, well, let's see what happens. And again, it's Movie Pass, so at this point in time, I'll see whatever, whenever.
Oh, hey, that's a good point. So Movie Pass. This is Movie Pass moment reviews. If you didn't have Movie Pass, Pete, would you watch this movie?
I'd probably go, yes.
Okay, and Jonathan?
Yeah, I would have gone.
I think I would have passed. I would have passed on this one.
Really? Because this movie's in my wheelhouse. You know, it's action and adventure. It's pop culture. It's 80s. Yeah, I might go to a $6 matinee, but I'd definitely still see it.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why I went to the movie, because I thought it was kind of like in all of our wheelhouses, Brothers in Arms here, wheelhouse, so to speak. You know, other than the obviously Back to the Future is the biggest thing ever, greatest movie ever. So, you know, that definitely encouraged me a little bit more. But yeah, I think without MoviePass, like John said, I go to a matinee or something. I go see this again now, I'll be honest.
I think you have to see it again. I think that's my, if I had to pick a gripe of this movie, was that there was so much to look at. Like, I was so nervous, like, oh my god, did I catch everything? There was like so much at once. And like, I know, I for sure, if I looked at the upper left of the screen, I missed something on the bottom right of the screen, you know? Right. It's one of those movies I think you have to watch. I mean, if you want to catch all the Easter eggs, there's no way in the world you can catch it in one sitting. It's impossible. It was information overload. You ever see that movie Johnny Mnemonic with Keanu Reeves? Yeah. Yes. It was like information overload. My head was going to explode because there was just so much in this movie. Like, I was almost like looking at every like little spray painting on the wall, like, oh fudge, did I miss something? Like, was that something? You know, I was like doing that in my head the whole entire time I was watching this movie. I was like, oh, is this something? Like, should I know this? It was something like that. So yeah, one sitting. It's fine. It's good, but.
I know during that final battle, we missed a ton of stuff because everybody's avatar was out there. And besides the one they showed us, like the Halo guys and things like that, you know, there was a bunch more out there.
Do you think he could have put Star Wars in, like Stormtroopers in there? Or is that, you know. Because I know his buddies with Lucas.
I didn't see any Star Wars reference, did you?
No, they didn't. They only did the.
Yeah, movie. I don't know. I don't know that.
Falcon.
Oh yeah,
he mentions it, but do you see it?
No, you don't see it.
And there's a, yeah. Is there any Disney like visuals in there?
No,
like the princesses or anything like that.
That's a good point.
Disney didn't give any rights, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but I watched a video on YouTube about Easter eggs, and they said there's even a Nightwing reference in there. I'm like, I didn't see anything really the Nightwing or DC.
Oh, no,
I mean, they mentioned Batman. They mentioned Batman climbing the Mount Everest with them, but other than that,
you see one of the girls dressed as Batgirl in the battle scene.
Did you see Harley Quinn? Did you see the game Harley Quinn in
there?
Yeah. And I thought with the race there'd be more cars I was familiar with, but I didn't really notice. Did you guys notice any cars besides the DeLorean?
Bigfoot. He was driving Bigfoot. Okay.
Yeah, Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Besides that, no, I didn't really notice anything.
How do you not throw a Batmobile on that scene?
Oh, there was a Batmobile, yes.
Was there?
Yeah, it goes off the edge. When King Kong comes up, there's a bat. There is a Batmobile, the old Batmobile.
Which one? Yeah, the 66.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh wait, did I see? I think I remember seeing that one.
Well, you just see the butt of it, but you don't see anything else.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah. So I mean, yeah, it's definitely something you should probably go see again, just to catch all the Easter eggs. But yeah, I mean, it was a nice warm up for the start of the summer movie season. You know, if they had more confidence in it, they would have released it during the summer, not in the beginning of April. So I think it's a nice little warm up. We have, I don't know if there's anything really huge coming out between now and Infinity War. So that's like our little taste of action and pop culture that we're going to get until then.
Did you guys have good previews?
Nothing new.
I got Infinity War.
Yeah, it was good to see it on a big screen.
Yeah.
I got Infinity War on a big screen, and I also got one of Jay and I's favorite stuff, the Harry Potter Fantastic Beasts.
Oh, the new Fantastic Beasts.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So I'm excited about both of those. Movie Pass, here I come.
Yeah, I think I was on my phone during the previews, to be honest with you.
All right. Anyway. Oh, you know what? One more side note. The young lady. Who's the leading lady in this movie?
Olivia Cook.
Yeah.
Artemis. When they revealed Artemis, when they revealed who she was, immediately I thought it was Rachel Lee Cook.
Yeah, me too.
Rachel Lee Cook.
I know.
Josie
she's
the
older
Pussycats.
Now.
She looks just like that, right?
Doesn't she? Yeah.
Josie and the Pussycats. The first thing I thought.
Yeah, I was like, no, that's impossible. She's too. She's older now.
You know what annoyed me? I gotta be honest.
Here we go.
Me about that.
What?
Don't look at me. I have a birthmark. I'm horrible.
Oh, I know. It's like, come on.
Like, it's 2045. Who cares if you got a birthmark on your face?
And sure. I'm not looking at your and face he's like,
and he's like, you're beautiful.
Well, yeah, not only that, half the people there had tattoos on their face, so it's not like it was something, like very odd, you know?
Right. So right away, she falls in love with him. Like, he's the first guy to ever accept me for my lightly colored birthmark on my face.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, really. Yeah, well, yeah, I know. So, I mean, so that was my point about this movie is that, you know, thinking back on it was good. It was fun. You know, story-wise, it was fun. It was okay. But it's a fun movie. Super, super entertaining if you get the references. And if you don't, I think you're going to struggle.
Yeah, I just don't think the outside world was really explained enough.
Yeah.
I got the feel between, like, Escape from New York and Zombie Apocalypse all mixed together.
Yeah.
It didn't seem like they really went into a little more detail about the world itself.
Did they explain why it was like that? I don't remember.
No.
All right.
No.
Yeah. So
the beginning they mentioned some type of war or something like that, but not enough that makes you think about it or something.
Yeah.
Did he care about his aunt dying any less? Is that possible?
He cared.
He ran to her.
He literally ran to her.
Right, and then she died, and then he forgets she existed. Come on.
Yeah. The story's got to move.
That's not true. He does mention when he's holding the gun to the guy that you killed my mother's sister.
Oh, yeah.
He can't say my aunt.
You ever referred to your aunt as your mother's sister? When has he done that?
Yes. You killed my auntie. Prepare to die.
Did you guys get the scene?
My name is Buzzaville.
The one reference when the Iron Giant's going into the lava, he puts his thumb up. Where's that from?
Terminator.
Yeah, there you go. I love that. That's great. Maybe yeah. Laugh.
I know none of us really get into the Gundam stuff, but I have a feeling that was supposed to be like a huge moment in the movie.
Right.
When the one kid or whatever, the one guy uses Mobile Suit Gundam.
Yeah.
We were supposed to be like, ooh. I was like, huh?
Yeah. I had no idea what that was. So I was like, okay, so that's probably why.
Yeah, like I said, I think if they pushed that movie, if they went as far back as maybe 1990, and like, you know, the games and the references and stuff, which, you know, I love the 80s stuff, but I think they went 90s, you could have pulled in more of the younger generation that may actually get this movie. But again, I think it was too much of a swing. So much of their really, really 80s stuff, hardcore 80s stuff, and really current stuff, and you know what I mean? There was too much.
I'll be honest, I probably wouldn't go see it if it was in the 90s. Depending on what they show in the 90s.
Yeah.
Again, the only attraction I had going into this movie was Back to the Future. And I know I say that a lot, but that was the truth of it. And if there's no, you know, mention of Back to the Future or something, unless it's something that I really want to, you know, talked about in the 90s.
So I agree with you. I was the same way because I knew it was heavily in the 80s. I dug that. So when they were starting referencing things not in the 80s, like late 90s, early 2000, like things I didn't understand, that I got lost in that excitement.
Oh, I thought you were saying something else. I think, yes, you're right, though. If they put it in the 90s and the early 2000s stuff, the kids would probably, your daughter would understand it better.
Right, exactly. She would have gotten it, you know.
But, yeah, like Amanda from Melrose Place. That's the 90s I need.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Hello, Heather Locklear.
That's right. Oh my God, we need some help. Anyway. Yeah.
So overall, you know, it was a good one. I enjoyed it. I'd see it again.
Okay, yeah, really rewatchability. So, Jonathan, for you, it's a definite rewatch.
Yeah, I'd see it again.
Yeah, and you, Pete?
Yeah, with MoviePass, I'd see it again.
With MoviePass. Yeah, I agree with you on that one. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, tomorrow I'm going to see another movie with my MoviePass that I would never go see on my own. Oh, I'm going to go see Paul the Apostle of Christ.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's interesting. It looks interesting, you know. So,
it's getting good reviews.
I hear it's getting great reviews. Because there's nothing really else out right now that I really want to see.
Oh, okay. I got a good recommend for you.
Okay.
And I can't bring myself to watch it, but the movie's called If You Can Only Imagine. Have you heard about that one?
Yes, there's one with the singing guy.
And I'm going to tell you why. I'll tell you why I can't watch it. Everyone I've known that's seen it loves the movie, but Niagara Falls, they were crying like a baby. And and like everyone said the same thing. I can't bring myself to watch this movie knowing that's what's going to happen to me, you know? But they said they have said it's the best movie they've seen in a long time.
Well, my wedding anniversary is Wednesday, 20 years.
Aww.
And my wife wants to see the movie, so I might end up getting suckered into that one.
Okay.
So
do it.
Which movie? Which movie are you getting suckered into seeing?
If I can only imagine, I think she wants to see that. So
I gotta kind of
do what she wants. She's the boss.
Sure.
Yeah. The things you do for love.
That's true. Very true.
20 years, huh?
20 years. Bless. And so, and we're going to do the idea that John, you shot with us, by the way.
Huh?
The thing we talked about.
I don't know what you're talking about.
My wife and I are going to be doing
Are you really?
On what
channel?
We're going to do it on Stuff. 20 Years to Life. My wife and I are going to do a show.
20 to Life. They're going to
do. Awesome.
Please, can I be the host?
So you can be the host. That'd be an awesome thing, John. Yes, absolutely.
Because my God.
If John knows, you know, John knows me obviously very well, and he knows my wife very well, and it will not be boring pretty. At all. I can tell you that.
I said it's not going to be pretty.
That too.
20 to life. That's a good thing, man. Yeah. All right. Yeah, I'm on board. Cool.
All right.
Anyway. Okay. Ready to wrap it up?
Well, guys, thank you for letting me join you in with your Nerd and Me podcast. All right.
Slow down.
I love it. Thank you.
Out of 5 stars, how many do you give it?
Me?
Yeah.
3.5.
Alan?
3.5. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I'll go 3.5. Mm-hmm. Let me do the math and average it out. Divided by 3. 3.5.
6. 3.5. Ooh, nice. Yeah, I think that's fair.
So can I ask you guys one more quick question?
Yeah.
Nope.
Okay, so the shows that you've done with the Movie Pass, is this the best one that you've done? Is this movie the best one that you've seen?
Well, we did Death Wish. If you talk about the two of us together, our first one was Death Wish.
Right.
Our second one was Red Sparrow Tomb Raider. And then this one. I don't know. I really like Death Wish.
I did
watch
too.
That again.
Yeah, I like
Death Wish. I did like Death Wish.
Yeah.
Death Wish
Yeah, well, that's pretty bad.
Yeah, I mean, I think Death Wish was probably the best out of the ones that you mentioned. I've seen all 4 of those movies as well. So
I think we're just biding time for Infinity War. I think we're just passing the time.
Sure. I agree. Okay. You
see Shape of Water, too.
It's a love story, isn't it?
No, but it's very good. Shape of Water is very good. Movie Pass moment. It's very good.
Alrighty then. Alright, I'll have to take a look at it. Alright, I don't know. Do we have a sign off? I forgot. www.brothersinarmchairs.com. You can find all of our shows. Pete is on Enter the Nerd Zone and Fat Guys and Little Coats. And we're there. Nerd to Me is there. And Stuff You Don't Need to Know, along with Jay.
Defenders of the Realm is there.
Oh, yeah. Defenders of the Realm.
Defenders
of the
Realm,
right.
Yes. It's awesome on there, too.
www.brothersinarmchairs.com.
Booyah.
With the long S at the end.
Yes. You have to hold down that S, but
well, you know I have a habit of dropping my S's, Alan.
Right.
Mythbusters.
Okay, we're done. Come on, man. This is getting out of control.
All right.
All right.
We'll see you
at the movies. Nope,
can't say that. Someone else. That's someone else.
We can't do that one?
No, we can't do that one.
All right, let's do it again.
Don't forget your pass to go to the movie. No, that's...
Oh my gosh, come on guys, you gotta
get
do
some
something.
Extra popcorn and refill your soda.
Refills are free. Okay, bye bye. See you, Pete.
Bye guys.
Alright, dude. Peace. Bye.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.